Thank you, choir. I love that choir. They help me worship God. You know, laws are so important. You've got to have laws, because if you don't have law, you've got disorder. So when God created the world, he just placed into operation certain laws that people have got to abide by or pay the consequences of. And they're made to just protect the individual. They're traffic laws. There are laws where you work, there are laws where you play, there are laws for church, there are laws for school, there are laws for the individual. And they are made for a purpose. And when these laws are broken in any of the areas that I've mentioned and others that may come to your mind, then a penalty has got to be paid. Now, you may break the speed limit and not get caught. And you may shoplift and not be caught. And you may do any number of other things that are against the law and not be caught for the moment. But two things I can pronounce this morning will happen. Number one, if you're not immediately caught, then there's going to be a hardening of your heart. And you're going to have a tiny decay within you, in your inner man. And the second thing that I can proclaim is that be sure your sin, disobedience to the law, will find you out. Be sure your disobedience to the law, that's what sin is, will find you out. Now, people today are seeking power. Power is needed to cope with a frightening age. And while many people find the power in Jesus and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are other people, multitudes of people, hundreds in King City, who are finding their power ranging from the innocent Ouija board to astrology to witchcraft and the occult and many other forms. And many Christians, because of their biblical lack of knowledge, do not know that they are dabbling in the occult. My sermon this morning, you may have yourself or friends dabbling in the occult, and I don't expect it to be a very popular sermon. It's more of a teaching type message to each one of you. I'd like for you to bow and ask God's blessings upon this, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that our eyes and ears be open to what you have declared to be the truth in the Word of God, and that what we hear would not be any one man's ideas, but would come from the Holy Bible. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would examine our hearts, also be sensitive to the areas of activity in the occult that our friends might be involved. And we pray that you would open our eyes, and may this be a very profitable time of teaching. In the name of Jesus, amen. When God made angels, he made one angel, Satan, called Lucifer, a very, very beautiful being. And this angel called Lucifer in heaven got to thinking, you know, I am right next to God. Here is me and here is God. I want to get up just one more step and I want to be like God. And so the Bible tells us that while he had a position, that is Lucifer, of the highest in heaven, he guarded, get this, Lucifer guarded the throne of God. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 28. But his downfall was this, and his words are recorded by the prophet Isaiah. This is what Lucifer said. This is before Adam and Eve now. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. I will be most like the Most High God. All of these, I will, I will, I will. And so there was a rebellion that took place in heaven. This is before Adam and Eve. This is when there was God and his created angels. X number of angels, the same number of angels we have now as were created when God created the angels. After this rebellion, Lucifer said, let's go, gang. And he gathered together one third of all the angels that had ever been created by God in rebellion. Well, what could God do but say, get out? And so God cast out Lucifer with the third population of the angelic host to what we know today as the planet Earth and the atmosphere around the Earth. That is why today that Satan is called the prince of the air. Because this atmosphere that surrounds the planet Earth, the atmosphere that's right in the sanctuary now, contains, unless we have cast them out, these demonic spirits, these evil influences, and they have rallied together with their Lucifer being the number one man. Well, to back up a little bit, God said, I'm going to give you the new location of authority, that is the atmosphere around this planet we call Earth. But then he created Adam and Eve. And God told Adam that he was going to rule the Earth. Adam and Eve were destined to rule the Earth. But Satan couldn't hack it. This hit his pride. This hit him where he was the weakest. And so he attempted to get a rebellion started here. And he seduced Eve. Eve seduced Adam. And then the scripture says that there was a change. Instead of Adam and Eve being in charge, they subjected this charge to Lucifer. And now today, Lucifer reigns. Except in these little territorial possessions like my heart and your heart, where we try our best to let Jesus be Lord. But at the same time, since we are breathing this atmosphere, since we are here today, Lucifer is after your soul. He wants you. And the thing that hurts him the most is when he is exposed by what I'm going to say this morning. Because he wants to be disguised. But when he's exposed, well, it hurts him. And this is what exposes him. Satan did not want me to deliver this message today. I won't take the time to tell you the things that have happened to me to try not to deliver this message, because I believe in the reality of Satan. And I believe that he wants you not to know the truth. So, would you turn on page 211 in the Pew Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 10. Many Christians, because of their lack of knowledge, are unaware of the practices that may to them seem to be a fad, which we're going to talk upon several this morning, and not even know that the scripture condemns psyche experiences. And while it may be a fad today, if you had to counsel people whose lives have become messed up as a result of this, you would see it indeed is a very serious, serious act. Now, the occult is forbidden. And when I started making these notes, I added this and I added that. I tried to get as many of these sources as I could. And even after I gave the copy to Trudy to type, which I'm going to pass out to you at the conclusion of the service, I've discovered five or six even additional things. So there are over 50 that I know about. And many of these things are operating in King City today. And some of you are involved in these things. And you've got friends that are involved in these things. Now, God condemns the occult. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Don't sacrifice your children in the fires on your altars. And then, don't let your people practice divination or look for omens or use spells or charms. And don't let them consult the spirits of the dead. The Lord your God hates people who do these disgusting things. And that is true today. He hates people who do these disgusting things. And involvement in spiritism results in a bondage to the occult power. And instead of producing a fellowship and friendship, it dissolves that into deceit and it enslaves people. Seven words from God. Number one, God forbids the occult practice. In Leviticus 19, it says, you're not to use enchantments and you're not to observe the time. In Leviticus 20, those people who were the mediums were supposed to be put to death. Why have a Bible if it's not for us today? Secondly, mediums are inspired by Satan. 1 Samuel 28. Saul didn't obey his own law that he set up. Number three, the occult works against God. Acts chapter 13, verse 6 following. It's on page 176. Acts chapter 13, verse 6 following. They went all the way across the island to Patmos, where they met a certain magician named Bar-Jesus. He was a Jew who claimed to be a prophet. He was a friend of the governor of the island, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor called Barnabas and Saul before him because he wanted to hear the word of God. But they were opposed by the magician, Elymas, that is his name in Greek, who tried to turn the governor away from the faith. Then Paul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked straight at the magician and said, "You son of the devil, you are the enemy of everything that is good. You are full of all kinds of evil tricks, and you always keep trying to turn the Lord's truth into lies. The Lord's hand will come down on you now. You will be blind and will not see the light of day for a time." Now here is a man who was a magician. And Paul said, "You are the son of the devil. You're full of evil tricks. You're trying to turn the Lord's truth into lies." A false prophet. There can be false prophets and false prophetesses today, even in King City as well. Number four, dealing with the occult is very, very dangerous. The scripture says in 2 Kings, you are to go to God, you're not to go to those who practice the occult for an answer. It's dangerous. Number five, Jesus has given power to you over occultism. While you're in Acts, if you'll look at Acts chapter 16, verse 16. One day they were going to a place of prayer. They were met by a slave girl who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days until Paul became so upset that he turned around and he said, not to the girl, he said to the spirit in that girl, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." And the spirit went out of her that very moment. And the story continues about her owners realizing they have lost now a very money-making proposition through her, because no longer could she predict the future and make money for them. Christ has given us the power over this because it's shown to us here how that in the name of Jesus, the bond can be broken. Six, a question, how to detect occultism. Well, 1 John 4 tells us, you can do it by being open to it. And the seventh word from God is simply this: they can't help you. Isaiah 47 says, you know, all of these people who you go to for help in discerning the times, they can't help you. Only God can help you. And for much study and research and conversation, I've tried to list these acts, which I'll give to you in a moment. Practices that are demonic. And the groupings I give you are mine. We could help sort out these evils. And the first grouping is under the caption of Spiritism. And there are 11 things. I'll just mention them to you. First is, now all of these have to do with the occult. The first is apports. That simply means transferring an object from one place through a closed room to another place. Apparitions, a vision of a spirit coming in a very strange and often horrible form. Automatic writing, where a person just writes by the spirit of a demon. Clairvoyance, identifying the characteristic of an individual through an object used or worn. ESP, extrasensory perception. Ghost, levitation, you know, letting something to mean, it means to rise or to lift. Materialization, a seance, speaking in a trance. Telekinesis, setting an object in motion. These are ways that Satan has been able to capture people and even Christian people. They come under Spiritism. The second group has to do with looking into the future. We call that fortune telling. And this is the offspring to idolatry, fortune telling. And fortune telling usually is demon inspired, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A person is a partaker with a demon. And I've listed seven different kind of fortune tellings. The first is astrology, stargazing. You know, astrology is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. It was around way back when, and the Egyptians were involved in it, the Indians were involved in it, and so forth. But astrology is that form of fortune-telling that a Christian should not involve himself in. And yet today, on 200 college campuses, there is a 24-hour computer available for those young men and women to find out how they are to do what the next day, and to be led by astrology. It's unscientific because the houses have even changed in the courses of time. It's unscientific because surveys have been taken of artists, for example. The majority of them never were born under the right sign at all to be an artist. It is unscientific. But beside that, the scripture says it's demonic. And the scripture very clearly states in Deuteronomy that it is condemned. You'll have the printout so you can read the scriptures yourself. Deuteronomy 18, Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 10, Daniel 2, Leviticus 19. The Bible condemns astrology. Why then would a Christian break the law and get involved in astrology? It's a hang-up for God's people, 2 Kings 23. It's forbidden, again, in Daniel 4 and Daniel 17. And yet the upsurge in astrological predictions in America is unbelievable. 75% of the newspapers today, the daily newspapers, carry the horoscope. Why? Because, they say, people buy the paper for the horoscope. If you are a Christian and you read the horoscopes, you are opening yourself up to that movement of the prince of this air, according to the scripture, not according to me, according to the Bible. St. Augustine said, astrology replaces the will of God through purely mechanical motions of the stars. But it's big business. Do you know that today in America there are 12,000 full-time astrologists and there are 175,000 part-time astrologists? When you add it together, you come up with a figure that approaches 200,000 people. And yet the largest Protestant denomination in America, the Southern Baptist Convention, only has 40,000 ministers. And yet those who give their astrological predictions number 12,000 full and 170,000 part-time. The zodiac signs today that are on glasses in many of your homes, on sheets, blankets, jewelry, and the list is endless, tablecloths, are signs that have no place in the Christian sphere. And if today you have at home, or you are wearing today, jewelry that has the sign of the zodiac, well, all you got to do is say, I take this off. I throw this away. I will have no part in the occult. I'm a Christian. I'll have no part in the occult. And you'll say, and I know some of you are already thinking, I can't give that ring away. I can't give those earrings away. I can't give that special thing away. It was given to me by my friend. Well, who do you value more, the friend or demonic powers? Who are you giving yourself to? Somebody said to me, I can't get rid of this because it costs a lot of money. This is pure gold. You know, cost of gold, the price of gold today. Well, my goodness, why can't you do that? And so people have done this. A few years ago, when I was conscious of this, we went through our house and we threw away a lot of things. There were some keepsake things. And there was one thing that I had a hard time getting rid of. It was valuable. It was expensive. It was a gift. Beside that, it was pure brass. But I threw it out, and in the name of Jesus, I said, this goes because Jesus stays in my heart. And I have a little intelligence to know, as I read the guidebook, that it says right here that it is against God's will if you participate in the signs of the zodiac. It seems to me that you would hold in esteem something that was not contrary to Jesus and his word. We go on. Crystal ball, the divine rod, card laying, the tarot card, palmistry. Yesterday, coming back north of San Francisco, I passed four palm reading places. And that one place had some people going, and I thought to myself, my goodness, here is something that's contrary to God's will. They may even be Christians. And yesterday morning I had breakfast with a few people, and sitting at this coffee shop, this pastor and wife were across the table from Mr. Van Etten and myself, and I looked at her jewelry on her earring, and I couldn't believe it. That was the pentagram. Well, she didn't know it, or she wouldn't have been wearing it. But even in her ignorance, and no, I didn't say anything, even in her ignorance, she was allowing something that was used by demonic influences to be close to her body. And I have known, as I have read as well, people who have divorced themselves from things like this have found a freedom in their spirit that they've never had before. Well, palm reading, prophecy, psychometric, the zodiac signs we've mentioned. All of this is outlawed. The scripture very clearly outlaws in Deuteronomy 10 the spiritualist fortune telling. And the New Testament takes the same firm. So these are some of those areas in that block of fortune telling. But let's get down to some more heathen practices forbidden by God. There are 15 or more. Charmers, divination, enchantments, human sacrifices, don't scratch that off. Because every year, 8 human sacrifices take place, minimum, in America. Documented, and it's taking place, and some aren't too far away. And when you see the upside-down red cross, it is the symbol used by those who are dabbling in the occult for human sacrifice. ISIS, ISIS. Today, we read about it being condemned, but on Saturday morning, you can turn the television set on and watch the cartoon character, Isis. I don't want my children exposed to this kind of occult. Magic, personal involvement, and it's an infraction upon the first commandment. Black magic, white magic, neutral magic, mental suggestion, criminal hypnosis, magical mysticism, and all of these other are enlisting demonic powers. And the hexagram in a circle is used by witches as a sign of the occult world. And yet we find the hexagram in a circle in Christian homes from time to time. Mediums, neocromancy, prognostication, sorcery, soothsaying, spiritualists. The pentagram, which is a star in a circle, is used by witches because they believe that that morning star is Lucifer. Now, if you have a belt buckle, or if you have a picture, or if you have an earring, or a ring that has a star with a circle in it, get rid of it. Spiritualists, soothsaying, witchcraft, wizards, witches. Don't write that off either. Do you know how many witches there are in America? Last year, a survey was taken, And these are people who say, I'm a witch, and proud of it. 285 were talked to. And these witches, I mean, would you believe it if the mayor of one of the largest cities in America is a devout witch? Would you believe if one of the top-ranking network commentators professes to be a witch? Would you believe that 3 congressmen profess to be witches? On one end of the scale, it is said that there are 10 million witches in America. That may be high. I sure hope to God it is. But on the low end, the conservative is that there are 2,000. You may think you live isolated here in King City, but we don't. The University of San Diego has courses in witchcraft. The University of Southern Carolina South Carolina has courses in witchcraft. They're taught by witches. New York University, and there are many, many others that slip my mind, teach witchcraft and Satanism. And one of the flourishing great churches of Satan is not too many miles, like 150 north of King City. So don't write off when I say witches. Don't write off when you read in the Word of God that witches have no place and should be put to death. Don't write off that that's Old Testament practices and God condemns it because of days gone by. Because, you see, these people are operating today. And they've got their hold on many people through his snare. This is the fourth large grouping. Satan's snare continues in the occult. Do you have a beetle at home, a sign of a beetle? It's spelled S-C-A-R-A-B. This Egyptian beetle symbolizes reincarnation. It's been used by those who are dabbling in the occult. Get rid of that beetle. Buddhism. What about the broken cross? The broken cross. It's the cross that you see, but it's upside down, and the two out horizontal pieces are moved down, and it's called, hence, a broken cross. It's called the crow's foot cross. It's called the broken cross. It's called the peace sign, would you? Can you believe that which has been used by witches, a Christian would use? And yet, I have seen belt buckles worn by Christians. I've seen Christian young people wearing the pendulum around their neck of the peace sign, the upside down cross. But it was originally used in sorcery. It's documented. It's proof. But we don't want to look at the proof. We just want to, it's a pretty piece of jewelry. And we wear the broken cross. It's a symbol of the Antichrist, used in the Dark Ages. Get rid of it. What about the cross with the needle eye? I don't recall who was wearing it, but I have seen recently somewhere in King City a person wearing the cross with a needle eye. And by that I mean, if you can visualize at the top of the cross where it comes together to make the point, it just sort of goes around. It becomes enlarged at the head, like, and it has an eye like a needle, but part of the cross is large. I've seen a Christian wearing this. It's called by the Egyptian that which is used for magic. It's Anka, A-N-K-A. It is that which is worshipped, used to worship Ra, R-A, who was the sun god of Egypt, and that was Lucifer, that was Satan. And so there's no place in the Christian jewelry box, on the back of a t-shirt, or a picture, or a bumper tag, or on the cover of a book, for the broken cross or the needle-eyed cross. That which was used to worship Satan would be used around the neck of a Christian? That's just like saying, come on, Lucifer, send your angels, send your demonic spirits into me. Which is the opposite of saying, Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit into me. Hypnotism, don't give your mind to anyone outside of Jesus. Hinduism and I Ching, which is taking America by storm now. It's like a fortune teller's book. It's light against darkness. It's called I Ching, and you'll be reading about it more and more. The moon and the star sign jewelry. The moon and the one star. It's jewelry that's worn, and it symbolizes Diana, who was the queen of heaven. And the star symbolizes Lucifer. Again, it's no place for the Christian. The moonies. And what about the Ouija board? In 1892, when a group of people came together to form the then First Baptist Church that became the Community Church in King City, a group of people on the other side of the continent made a Ouija board. And for year after year, it just didn't do too much. It didn't make much revenue for those people making it. But in 1920, something happened. People started using it and started getting messages. Incidentally, it's made in Salem. 11 inches by 17 inches. At the top there is the alphabet, yes or no signs on both sides. You put a little triangular block on it that has three little pegs, and you put your fingers on it, and I've played it. and the other person puts the fingers on the other side. When I was a little boy, somebody gave me the Ouija board. It never worked. I threw it away. Praise God, it didn't work. But it has worked for people today. And 4 years ago, somebody gave one of my children a Ouija board for Christmas. We threw it up in the closet because it would have nothing to do with it. And then it dawned upon us that we have something in our house that has to do with the occult. Get rid of it. It's a brand new game. We could give it to somebody else's birthday. It has never been opened. No, get rid of it. That Ouija board in 1972 outsold Monopoly, which for 25 years was the best-selling parlor game in America. It lost to the Ouija board. And between 1975 and 1976, the Ouija board sold 2 million boards over the preceding year. Perhaps for the ignorant and the unsuspecting, the facts add up to merely the appearance of an interesting fad, but to those people who have seen individuals tormented by Satan's snare, it's not a fad. It's a national tragedy. Young people were playing with the Ouija board, and they were getting their messages, and they were having a lot of fun with it. They decided to go home. 3 of the guys got in the car with the Ouija board and started home. As they were going home, it became apparent to the driver that the driver had no control over this car at all. You know, it wouldn't turn. He couldn't decelerate or accelerate. He couldn't brake. He had no control over the car at all. And needless to say, these guys were quite panicked, as you would be too. And they started crying, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to be killed. But one person, a Christian boy who had been involved in it, realized what was happening. And he took the Ouija board. He threw it out of the car. And instantly, when the Ouija board left the car, control came back to the driver. If you dabble with that Ouija board, no matter how young or how old you are opening your mind, you are becoming susceptible to the powers of Lucifer. God has established guidelines in Exodus 20 and Isaiah 44 that prohibit the use of the occult like we see in the Ouija board. Can I mention tattooing? Oh, I will. If you have a tattoo this morning and nobody knows you got it, that's between you and God. But did you know that it is forbidden by God? Before I say any more, let me say this. If you have a tattoo, all you got to do is to confess it and say, Jesus, I now know that it's against the Bible. And I confess it, and I want you to forgive me, and God will forgive you. Then you can do 2 other things. You can say, Lord, take it away. And if you believe in the God of miracles, God can take it away. Or he may let it remain so that you would see when you do that involvement which is contrary to the Word of God so that you can be drawn closer and closer and closer to God. Because I sense there are doubters, Leviticus 19:28 says, do not tattoo yourself. Transcendental meditation, theophany, the unicorn horn. Have you ever seen a gold unicorn horn hanging on a nice chain around somebody's neck? This is satanic. It was created by the Druid priest of Scotland and Ireland. It's asking for financial help, and it's used in the occult. Get rid of it if you have one. And then yoga. In the New Testament, prayer and meditation are there. But they are not accompanied by drastic spiritual and physical exercises at all. So let me conclude by saying 4 things. Number 1, wake up. Destroy Satan's corruption and get rid of his influence in your life. Just get rid of his influence in your life. Luke 10:19-20 says you've got power over that. The spirits are subject to you. And then do what the people did in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, we are told that after Paul had preached about this, the people went out and they returned to their home. They brought back all of their books on the occult and they piled them up and they burned them. And the value of the books translates today to $32,000. How many thousands of dollars are on our shelves in King City? This is what those people did. So first of all, conclusion, wake up, destroy Satan's power over your life. Number two, memorize this scripture, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Number three, make a prayer list of your own friends and your relatives who participate in some form of the occult practices. Remember that God loves them, but he hates definitely their practices. It is, according to the Bible, an abomination to him. And then four, a prayer. A prayer something like this to God. Almighty God, I confess to you that I have sinned and I have exposed myself to the influence of astrology, for example. I ask your forgiveness and I thank you for it. And then to Satan, you tell Satan loud and forcefully if you want to, I renounce everything that has to do and related to, for example, astrology. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to remove all influences from my life, and I'm closing every avenue into my heart to them. Praise God, Jesus is Lord. And these are two prayers you can pray. Gentlemen, would you take care of this for me, please? When you receive these papers, will you take one, take two, please? Take two, take one for yourself, and take one for a friend. The scripture that we've omitted is all here. Satan's snare is so complicated and so alive in King City. But as for me and my house, you might want to say, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to dabble in the occult. Two comments, please, before we dismiss.